How do you build a high-performance team? That's the question that all leaders grapple with. The challenge in today's environment is that you're told to pull this off on a shoestring budget and that you have to exceed previous year's production. It's an impossible task. Here's how this show helps. Every week, we're going to feature executive and senior leaders from HR, IT, and sales, and they're going to share their best practices and playbooks so you can empower your managers to build great teams. We are Engaging Leadership, and now, here's the show. Thanks for joining us today. This is your friendly neighborhood town strategy nerd, Dr. Jim, and we are live from Transform at the Wynn Resorts in Las Vegas, and today we are going to tackle the topic of getting people ready to lead. And to help us guide that discussion, we have J.D. Peterson, CEO of Matheson, hanging out with us. J.D., welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dr. Jim. Always great to be here with you and great to be at Transform. I don't know if signing up for a podcast on day three being in Vegas was a good idea, but we'll see.
It's always a good idea. There's never a bad time to sign up for a podcast.
There you go.
So I appreciate you hanging out. And I know that we're going to dive into that discussion. And I'm especially interested in getting your perspective as a multiple-time startup leader who's facilitated some high growth organizations, some scale ups. So that's going to be an interesting lens that you bring to the conversation. But before we dive into the discussion, I want you to get us familiar with your background, how you got to where you were, some of the work that you're doing at Matheson.
Long career in kind of Silicon Valley startups, always in the B2B business side. But funny, started my career on the front lines as a customer support agent, and I've really worked my way up through various leadership roles in different parts of the organization. I feel very blessed. I've been able to play parts in kind of lots of different functions and domains in the company and in the different spaces that my companies have been in. Ultimately landed in the HR tech space in 2017 when I was the chief growth officer for one of the leading employee experience engagement companies. Did that for a bunch of years. And then now I am at Matheson, which is in the DEI space. And I'm playing the CEO role over here at Matheson. And we are a DEI-focused tech startup. We are trying to bring technology and data to really help people figure out what to do when it comes to DEI and ultimately measure and track progress.
So I want to dig in on something that you mentioned, and I'm going to have you go back into the olden days when you were a CSR.
Yeah.
A customer service rep. When you look at your time in that role, what were the most important lessons that you learned in that role that shaped your leadership philosophy going forward?
Yeah. First and foremost, just the customer. Being on the front lines of customer service, it's always stayed with me just how ultimately the customer is everything. We're all in business here making products for that person on the other end and never losing sight of that customer voice and just the importance of where a customer and their voice sits in the organization has always stayed with me. No matter what role, what area I was leading or playing a part in a company, always making sure we were paying attention to that customer voice has stayed with me from that job for sure. I think in my time in that role though too, and that was really where I had my first experience. It's moving from a frontline employee into managing and leading a team. Being curious and asking questions was like the number one thing that I think really helped me stand out and maybe get to that opportunity. And then that has stayed with me forever. Just always wanting to be inquisitive and constantly asking questions about why are we doing something? How did we make that decision? And things of that nature. So I think keeping that curious mindset, keeping the customer at the heart of it, those are probably two big things.
A lot of leaders and a lot of organizations talk about customer obsession. And I think it's an important philosophy to have in place and actually bring to life. With your early career being so customer obsessed or customer focused, how did that bleed into your talent strategy and how you built and developed teams?
Wow. Yeah, that's a great question. No matter what the role is, always ask in interviews about, even from your early days, maybe as a teenager or other things, what are the jobs someone had where they were customer facing? Where they had to deal with customers. Maybe they were a waitress or a waiter or a customer support rep like me or those sorts of things, but really trying to understand people's perspective of helping serve somebody else on the other end of a transaction. A lot of it comes back to just that idea of serving others. And I think that no matter, again, like really what role you're playing in this world of especially B2B, but also B2C companies and building products, it's ultimately about serving the customers on the other end. That's what it all comes down to. So I want to both understand what experience somebody has, how they think of service and what service means to them. But then that's also something we want to practice and build and train and grow people in that area too. And always keeping that service mindset front and center.
Let's get into the what everybody's waiting to hear your thoughts on, and that's getting people ready to lead.
Yeah.
And I set this up in the beginning of the conversation where you've had a lot of experience at startups and scale-ups,
yep.
and you've grown some massive organizations. So I want you to think back to those experiences and identify some of those key best practices that helped you smooth out that leadership transition, getting people from an IC to a manager, from a manager to a director, from a director to a VP.
Yeah.
What are those best practices that shorten that learning curve?
There's probably two or three things that come to my mind. First and foremost, I think of feedback. And I think of feedback in two different ways. I think one is in trying to help other people get to leadership, I have to be really good at giving them feedback. I've got to make sure they're getting feedback both before they step into leadership, while they're learning to step into leadership, and even once they're in that leadership role. No one's going to improve. Nobody's going to learn unless you're telling them what they're doing, what they're not doing well. And so really getting good at helping people, helping them learn through giving them feedback is important. But feedback is also, and especially in leadership, it goes the other direction too. They have to also be good at giving feedback, not just the receiving. So I've got to give them feedback to help them. Again, what are they doing well? What are they not in their journey? But I also want them learning how important it is for them to give feedback. So I really want to get and tease out of them, give me feedback. How am I leading you? How are you seeing other leaders around the organization? And really trying to get them embracing that idea of a culture of feedback and a way of working where feedback is constant. And I'm not just talking about, although they're important, things like performance reviews and classic or standardized, formalized forms of feedback. I'm talking about continuous feedback and most specifically in the moment. When something's happening, being able to deliver people, hey, did you think about it maybe this way? Or just asking them questions and prompts to get them thinking. So feedback is definitely a huge one for me and I think has to be present. Second thing I think about is just practice. I think some people have this idea that, you know, if I go take some leadership training and once I get the job and I am a leader, then I'm done. I'm a leader. I've done it. But that's not what leadership is. And I think you and I know, and I've been quote unquote a leader for a good chunk of my life now, but I'm learning every single day. And I still feel like I have a long way to go to be the kind of leader that I want to be. And the only way you can do that is to embrace this idea that it is a practice and it's something you have to continually practice to get better at. When looking at people, to especially ICs, to grow them towards leadership roles, practice comes in the form of how can I give them opportunities? Even before they maybe step into a former leadership role, it's leading a project, it's leading a small group, it's leading a meeting, it's leading a specific exercise. How can you give them those opportunities to trial and error, to learn, to keep practicing? So practice is definitely a word that I come back to all the time. And how do I set up an environment where people get the opportunity to practice those things? Third one I'll come to just real quick, and I'll round it off there, is a support system. And I think a support system is critical when somebody steps into a leadership role for the first time. And by support system, what do they have around them, aside from just their direct manager, that can help support them in that journey? Peer group is important. Mentorship is important. Training and resources that they can tap into are important. Giving feedback, creating that idea of constant practice, and then building a support system around are three things that I've seen really help people get successful on that journey.
So all three of those are really great points that you bring out, but I want to drill down into one area. And that was what you first mentioned, which was feedback and consistently creating that feedback culture. So I understand that from a theory perspective. I understand that from a practice perspective. I think what would be helpful is for you to talk a little bit more about what good feedback actually looks like.
Yeah.
So when you're trying to structure feedback, and this is especially important for those new leaders, what does good feedback look like? You can't just tear the Band-Aid off. So give us a walkthrough of that.
Yeah. A lot of it is understanding who the other person on the other end with. So there's a big part, I don't know, a lot of people have popularized the idea of user manuals and things like that, which can be a great tool. But I think it starts with first understanding the person you're dealing with. And everybody likes to receive feedback in different ways. What is the way that's going to best resonate with that person? There is no one size fits all, I believe, when it comes to feedback. So it's really understanding who the person is on the other end and how they're going to respond. I actually like things very direct and almost harsh myself, but I've certainly realized through the years that not everybody embraces it the same way. So one, I think, is really personalizing feedback, understanding who the individual is and how they want to hear it. I'm a big fan of questions as well. Is through feedback, giving them feedback, but through asking a lot of questions and getting them to just maybe see things from a different perspective. Questions that start with things like, did you think about X? Or have you thought about this? Or what if you did stuff this way? Those types of questions, just to really get them thinking, to where many times they'll come up with the answer, or they'll figure it out on their own versus me having to necessarily spell everything out. Ultimately, the other thing too is, like I said, it's not just waiting for those formalized moments of reviews or even your one-on-one. It's delivering feedback. Hey, at the end of a meeting, it's pulling somebody aside in the middle of an activity or an exercise and giving them direct feedback on the spot when you see something that, hey, they might have done that in a different way, or maybe that wasn't the most effective way, or the opposite. Hey, that was brilliant the way you set that thing up, or the way you delivered that information was really, I appreciated it, really helped me do my job, those types of things.
I like every bit of that answer that you gave, but I think the one element that I really was your point about, you can't cookie cutter this process for your team. You have to custom build it for each individual on the team and make sure that you're delivering that in a way that meets that person where they're at. You mentioned earlier that you need to be aware as a leader of the support system that exists around you. Part of that support system in terms of getting people ready to lead is the building the relationship that gives you the space to have those conversations. Yep. So I think that's worth mentioning too. So I know we're just scratching the surface on this entire conversation. If people want to continue the conversation, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Yeah, get in touch with me is pretty easy. One, you can always email me. I keep my email pretty open and answer. It's just jd.peterson@matheson.io. You can also find me on most of the social medias, JD_Peterson on Twitter. I guess that's X now. You can find me on LinkedIn as well pretty easily. And I'm always open to chat with people there. Yeah, those are some of the ways.
Awesome stuff, JD. I appreciate you hanging out with us and sharing with us some of your best practices when it comes to getting people ready to lead. When I think about the conversation that we had, I think one of the things that you mentioned early on really defines how leaders and emerging leaders need to shift their mindset, and that's having a servant's mentality. You talked about coming up in the world, in your professional world, as a customer service rep first and being customer obsessed.
Yep.
We need to take that same obsession and apply it inwards to our organizations and the people that report into us, because that obsession about our people is what's going to get them to the next level in what they're seeking to achieve. So it's critical that leaders take that obsessive mindset about development and bring it inside the organization and move forward with that with the intent of serving their constituency and their reports. So really great stuff. I appreciate you hanging out with us. For those of you who have been listening to this conversation, if you like the discussion, leave us a review. If you haven't already done so, make sure you join the HR Impact community. You can find that at www.engagerocket.co/HR Impact. And then tune in next time where we'll have another great leader hanging out with us and sharing with us the game-changing insights that help them build a high-performing team. Thanks for listening to this episode of Engaging Leadership. We hope you liked the conversation. Don't forget to continue supporting us by joining the HR Impact community. You can find our community at www.engagerocket.co/HR Impact. Tune in next time where we'll have another leader joining us and sharing with us the game-changing insights that help them build high-performing teams.